But you were there at Centennial Hall, and you and I witnessed people who spoke, who said they had scientific research that said we were putting poison in our water.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on what they call poison. Almost everything that we do today is poison, Steve, and anybody can use the terminology poison. And just because somebody tells me that this is poison, I can't just take that for granted. I listen to them, but I have to go to our own expert who we pay from the taxpayers' money to say, well, what is this all about? And they don't look at it as poison.
Jerry, you're saying you have a message for London City councillors on the fluoride issue. They could soon risk major fines or even prison time on this issue?
Yes, indeed. The Safe Drinking Water Act of 2002, which of course arose from the Walkerton water tragedy in 2000, sets out in Section 19 their obligations to exercise a standard of care in dealing with matters arising under the Act. And that standard of care, if they are found to be deficient through a court case, could lead to fines of about $20,000 per day up to that. On first offense and up to a year in prison.
The fluoride issue. Boy, do we need to talk about this some more. And I know some of you are saying, oh, don't talk about fluoride again. Well, we finally got a raging debate in London. It's what we wanted. Every single line is lit up. I want to go to Eugene. He wants to jump in here before we get to a number of other folks. Go ahead, Eugene.
Hello, Andrew. Here's what I wanted to talk to you about. You know, I'm an old man. I was raised back during the war, and my dad always taught me there we used to have salesmen come to our farm. If somebody's trying to give me something that's good for me and trying to make money off it there, I should be very leery of this, right?
A good philosophy.
Yeah, well, this is the way I look on stuff. You know, every time I turn on your radio, there's controversy about it. I listened to the dentist this morning. We have fluoride for years. I'm an old man. Well, getting up there, and I got all my teeth yet, you know. And the thing is that I get so sick and tired of every time you put that Pam Colleen on your show, every second word she has on there, Andrew, is by my book.
Hey, Eugene, you got a second?
Yes, I have.
Pam is actually a lovely lady, and she would really like to say good morning to you. Go ahead, Pam.
Good morning, Eugene. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, Pam.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you have all your teeth.
Yes, I do.
I hope you were raised on raw milk.
I was raised on raw milk, too. Yes,
that's why you have all your teeth, Eugene.
No, it's not. But the thing is that I look on this here. I've listened to all the controversy. I'm old. I'm not an educated man. I'm not. I don't pretend to be. But I don't step back and believe for one minute, Pam, that all our government officials are all liars covering something up because fluoride is in the water worldwide. And every time I listen to you, Pam, you're saying, buy my book. And you put the PhD guy on there with each degrees and buy his book, too.
Eugene, the cattle are calling. We're going to let you go. Pam, hey, we have them all. We have them all listening.
Yes.
You're rocking the boat of a lot of people's sacred world that fluoride is right up there with God, apple pie, and the military.
Well, you know, we need critical voices out there. We can't just believe everything we hear. I mean, Health Canada, we have to realize, has made a lot of mistakes in the past, whether it's Vioxx or Avandia, DES, thalidomide, you know, they're not 100% accurate with their decisions.
Pam, you stand by. We got a lot of people we want to get on in this half hour. Stephen Orser is a city councillor. And Pam, just a quick word about Stephen Orser's performance last night.
Yeah, he put on a great performance. We really appreciate Stephen's eloquence and support in our efforts to get fluoride out of the city water. He's done a lot of research. He was very pro-fluoride before he was started his education, and now he's convinced that this stuff has to get out of our city water.
Stephen, you're on. You were passionate last night. You've really developed some passion on this issue.
Well, you know, Andy, when you hit 50 years old, you start looking at your own mortality, and your outlook on life totally changes. And a lot of my personal life experiences are coming to bear on this issue. But I'll tell you, one thing I'd like to say before we get going is I wouldn't mind to have Eugene on council. I think he'd be just a wealth of wisdom.
Well, he's chewing on a hayseed, but hey, he's real.
He was great.
Stephen, just a quick word about where you are and where you think council. Here's what my sense from last night. I mean, let's face it, this vote was 3-2. This vote was very close. There's a lot of passion. People are starting to listen, and that's what we wanted from the beginning.
Well, you know, again, we've got 1,442 people that signed a petition, get it out. We had a gigantic crowd for the Centennial Hall meeting, okay, that came out 4-1 to get it out. We've had multiple meeting requests, emails, phone calls, and last night we had 60 people roughly show up. This is more public input separately and collectively than I've seen on many issues, yet we have councillors that are just relying on reports from the feds, the province, and so forth. And as Ms. Colleen said, people make mistakes. Things change. Look at 46 years ago when we voted this in. What was going on?
Okay, we got a number of people we have to get to, but Stephen, your message to your fellow councillors who are not yet on board, who simply take the approach, well, don't expect me to make medical decisions. We leave these things to the health unit, and after all, I think they graduated from a medical school somewhere, so they must know what they're doing.
Well, again, you know, last night our staff or experts, I put the question, could we put it in the dump? They said no, unequivocally, no, we couldn't, but we can put it in the water. Now, take a long look at that alone. And do you want to be drinking that? I don't. And the other thing I've read about, heart issues, cancer issues, joint and hip issues, arthritis issues, I don't want to gamble with my body. I'd rather have pure water, and I'd rather give that to the people in my life, and that's Ward 4.
Stephen Orser.
That's where I stand. I want it out. I want it to be voted on Monday, or Tuesday, I should say. And my vote's going to go to discontinue it.
Stephen, like never before, I'm going to give you a high five. Brace yourself.
Thank you.
Here it comes. Good for you, Stephen.
They better put their seatbelts on because I'm ready to roll on this one.
Well, absolutely. Stephen, the health of our children, the health of our children is at stake, Stephen, so go get them. Absolutely. Pam, quick word of introduction for Jerry Cooper.
Jerry Cooper is with the People for Safe Drinking Water, and he has done a tremendous amount of work on the issue, including examining the liability issue. So good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Pam. Good morning, Andy.
Jerry, you have some words of advice for the city councilors this morning as they prepare to decide this important issue. Go.
Yes, for the councilors, I would recommend that they seriously read and contemplate Sections 19 and Section 20 of the Safe Drinking Water Act of 2002 for the benefit of your listeners, counselors need to exercise the level of care, due diligence, and skill of a reasonably prudent person. So to go back to that point, I'm not a medical doctor or anything. You're not expected to be. You're expected to use common sense here and dig deeply into the issue and question everyone who comes forward on it.
Jerry, give us the common sense and then give us what penalties our city councilors and people from the health unit could face if it is proven that they are, in fact, damaging the health of our children and grandchildren by putting fluoride in the water.
Yes. Well, first of all, their purpose in exercising this standard of care is to indeed ensure the protection and safety of all users in the community. It's not to protect the policy as it exists. It's not to protect staff who are wedded to a particular policy. It's to protect the residents. The penalties that could arise from a court case coming from a complaint would be up to $20,000 per day for the period of time that the counselors were in contravention of the Act, Section 19, and or up to a year in prison. It also applies to the corporation of the city. And those penalties are higher. They can go into the millions of dollars a day.
Are you saying that theoretically, members of our city council or the health unit could literally be sent to prison if it is proven that they made a decision which, in fact, damaged the health of our children and grandchildren, namely fluoride in our water?
Yes, and us as well. There are seniors who are affected by fluoridation in water as well.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty sobering warning. Jerry, I wish we had more time. We've got so many people we want to talk to on this issue, but we salute you for joining us this morning.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Jane wants to weigh in. Jane, go ahead.
Yes. I have a dermatitis that it may, they use the word may, be caused by fluoride in the water, fluoride in the toothpaste, may, that word. Okay. If you ever wanted to fight that, as long as the doctor puts may cause, you don't have a leg to stand on. I have a dermatitis that goes around my face. It's very, very hard to cure. I've been on creams. I'm going to a dermatologist.
Do you suspect fluoride played a role?
May.
Okay, so what's your point?
What's your point, Jane? I'm working very hard to clean this up. I'm on a cancer med, so your immune system is suppressed. And these people that are on cancer meds all have a suppressed immune system. And something like fluoride can cause them a lot of problems. I'm not lying to you. This little word may covers a lot of butts.
Jane, I appreciate the call so much. Let's go to Ben. Ben, your thoughts.
Hi there. I was just calling to talk about the fluoride issue. And one of the things that I think about it, or my girlfriend and I have talked about, is, you know, you drink water to quench your thirst, replenish your body. You don't drink water to fix your teeth. So why are they putting fluoride in the water?
Oh, boy. That's a very good question. Pam, give him the 30-second answer to that.
Well, I remember when I was a kid and I had fluoride treatments, I was to spit it out. And the dental hygienist was very careful to tell me, not just one or two or whatever rinses, about three rinses before I could totally get rid of the fluoride that she had just put on my teeth. So the dental hygienists know you're supposed to spit out fluoride. The toothpaste containers themselves say do not swallow. And I think people can put two and two together. You know, I think people know that this is something that is toxic and you're not supposed to swallow.
Okay, we have to take a short break, and then we're going to wrap this discussion up for this morning, at least, with Pam Killeen and Paul Connett. I can't believe Paul. Unbelievable. For a guy who doesn't even live in the country, how much he cares about the health of the people in London, Ontario. Unbelievable, folks. And if you're really serious about this issue, you will read his book, The Case Against Fluoride. Back in just a moment here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
But you were there at Centennial Hall, and you and I witnessed people who spoke, who said they had scientific research that said we were putting poison in our water.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on what they call poison. Almost everything that we do today is poison, Steve, and anybody can use the terminology poison. And just because somebody tells me that this is poison, I can't just take that for granted. I have to, I listen to them, but I have to go to our own expert who we pay from the taxpayers' money to say, well, what is this all about? And they don't look at it as poison.
There is none so blind as he who will not see. Back to the phones we go on the issue of chlorine. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I think we should know the people the irresponsible people that voted to get rid of the fluoride out of the water as councillors, because obviously I get so frustrated with these people. I mean, it seems funny that Calgary and all these other cities saw the light, and yet these people don't see the light. And to make a comment like that fella did yesterday, we have to go by the advice of those we pay, the experts. I mean, if we went, we paid doctors very well, and they were the ones that were promoting hormone replacement therapy for years for women. And then they just suddenly decide, gee, we're wrong about this.
Gee, John, you sound like Andy Udman. Don't trust the city council. Don't trust the health unit. John, appreciate the call. We have to move on because we have so many folks who want to weigh in. Another John. Go ahead, John.
Andy, could I read you a little bit out of a newspaper that I read a year ago and I've saved it?
You've got 30 seconds.
Okay. Most irrational idea. Despite decades of research and the endorsement of more than 90 national and international health organizations, evangelic-like Fluoride Action Network, which routinely cherry-picks statistics, cites dubious studies, and makes deceptive straw-man arguments, lobbied in February for the removal of fluoride from London's drinking water.
There, you've had your 30 seconds. I want to go to Dr. Paul Connett, this incredible man who has written this book, The Case Against Fluoride. He's come to London a number of times. He's tuned into a number of our shows. Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good morning, Andy.
What do you think?
Well, very angry. You know, when you hear these councillors saying that they have evidence-based, they're going along with evidence-based science, they're going along with science, etc., they're not going along with science. They're going along with endorsements. Endorsements are not scientific evidence. and the endorsement of Health Canada is worth nothing. You saw that in action. They had a chance to do an objective review of the literature. They had six experts to look at it. They chose four pro-fluoridation experts, I'm afraid, to review the issue, and it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. That self-fulfilling prophecy is now being handed on by the local experts who are simply obeying orders. I'm waiting for any of these people to respond scientifically to our book, which is backed up with 80 pages of scientific references. I am absolutely sick and tired of people who claim that science is on their side but are unwilling to read our book, respond to the scientific arguments, or to produce one expert in London who will take me on publicly. They can't do it, and yet they still claim to be scientists.
Now, Paul, earlier we had a dentist on who claimed to have read your book and said that there are no systematic reviews in it.
Absolute nonsense. He couldn't have read the book because we reviewed several systematic reviews. And systematic reviews are only as good as the panel you choose to do that systematic review. And if you start by selecting only the studies done on water fluoridation, you're not going to get many studies because they're not doing health studies in fluoridating countries. The studies which are being done are in fluoridating countries which have high natural levels of fluoride, higher than one part per million. They're ignoring all these studies. They ridicule the methodology, but they don't do the studies of their own.
Okay, doctor, I've got to jump in because we are out of time. Pam, wrap it and put a bow on it, if you would.
Well, I think, what we need to do is educate. I think that's one thing that we have to approach our city councilors and hand them this information so that they can see that there's another side of the story.
And what about the comment from the London dentist, Dr. Fendrick this morning, saying that the key issue is the dosage?
Dosage. I mean, they can't control the dose. So right there, it just shows how guilty they are, essentially. They're just randomly putting this in our mouths. And they're not knowing our health history. They're not knowing our body weight, our body size. They're just randomly dosing us, and there's no way to know exactly how much fluoride people are taking in a day. So right there, that's really sloppy medicine.
Okay, we have just seconds left. Pam, are you still hopeful that council will see the light?
Yes, I am very hopeful. I think that the education is on our side. I think that once we reason with them and show them that there are multitudes of studies out there showing the deleterious effects of fluoride, that they're going to apply the precautionary principle. There isn't just one side of the story, and because there is a second side of the story, they must, by responsibility, apply the precautionary principle.
And I agree with Dr. Connett. If anybody in this city is serious about this issue and wants to keep fluoride in the water, at least have the guts to either personally stand up and debate Dr. Paul Connett or find somebody who will. So far, there's nobody who's got the guts. And that tells me they know they've lost the argument. Folks, we are getting fluoride out of the water. I promise you that sooner or later. And if we don't do it on our own, we'll do it because everybody else around us has done it. We thank Pam Killeen. We thank Dr. Paul Connett. We thank you all for joining us this half hour. The debate goes on.